The Vedic rishis followed the mind back to its source and declared that the three primal qualities were the foundation of existence. Sat, Chit, Ananda. These are usually translated as a single phrase, eternal bliss consciousness, or individually as Sat, existence, truth, reality, Chit, mind awareness, Ananda, bliss. But these definitions don't help us much, since they assume an understanding of what we mean in English by reality, truth, bliss, and existence. These are far from settled. If you say it was blissful going to Aruba for Christmas, it changed my whole reality, your words have meaning in everyday life, but they haven't described Sat Chit Ananda. If we unfold what the rishis meant, they were referring to an experience of the source which can be summarized as follows. Every thought you have, as well as every object you see in the world, is a vibration of the universe. The Sanskrit term is Shabda. Shabda creates light, sound, touch, taste, and every other quality. In dreams, you can also see, hear, touch, taste, and smell, but those vibrations are subtler. They don't have the same feelings as concrete reality. When you go beyond the subtle qualities of the mind, Shabda becomes so faint that the mind loses all experience of an outside reality, even shadowy wisps of memory. Eventually, it experiences only itself, and there aren't any vibrations at all. You are the source. The threshold of the source is silence, but you must step over the threshold into the room where reality is born. There you find that the raw materials are threefold. Creation springs from existence, Sat, consciousness, Chit, and the potentials for vibration to arise, Ananda. These three are the most real things in the universe because everything else that we call real comes from them. It's this experience of the source, a state beginning beyond silence, that the Vedic rishis considered the field of all fields, what physicists call the ground state or vacuum state. Being pregnant with every possible flicker of energy in the universe, the vacuum state still excludes Sat Chit Ananda. It has no mind, no bliss. It cannot be experienced subjectively. By leaving these factors out, physics leaves out the physicist, who pretends that he isn't part of the field. John Wheeler, an eminent Princeton physicist, decades ago pointed out this flaw. As we make models of the universe, he said, we act like someone with his nose pressed against the window of a bakery, looking at everything on display from the outside. But there is no window separating the observer from the universe. We are not outside it at all. Wheeler's suggestion that we must find a science that combines subjectivity and objectivity has been meagerly pursued because science remains stubbornly objective, and it can afford to when conducting isolated experiments. Ultimately, however, there's a limit that cannot be crossed, and we are quite close to it. We can face the limit of knowledge in a simple problem like prayer. By now, the public is well aware that research on prayer has validated that it works. In a typical experiment, volunteers, usually from church groups, are asked to pray for sick people in the hospital. They do not visit the person and often have only a number rather than a name to go by. The prayer isn't specific. They are simply asked to pray for God's help. The results of such experiments have been startlingly positive. In the most well-known, conducted at Duke University in North Carolina, patients who were prayed for recovered faster and with fewer side effects than those not prayed for. Here we have one more demonstration that we are all connected by the same field of consciousness. The properties of the field operate here and now. The field works as a whole. It correlates distant events instantly. It remembers all events. It exists beyond space and time. It creates entirely within itself. Its creation grows and expands in an evolutionary direction. It is conscious. The Vedic rishis began with these qualities as their first principles. In that regard, they were wiser than we are. With our reluctance to admit consciousness unless we are forced to, or at the far limits of a difficult scientific issue.